Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Amanda Palmer is a singer, songwriter and pianist and one half of the cabaret punk duo The Dresden Dolls. She also maintains a notably strong relationship with her fans via her blog and on Twitter, where she has a tidy 500,000 followers. Peter Sunder is the co-founder of the biggest file-sharing system in the world, the Pirate Bay. How much would the singer and the pirate have in common? Quite a lot, as it turns out. Both were in Wellington recently for the annual Webstock Summit. Hayden Green sat down with them to talk about music and the internet.
Well, I think that you've got a very interesting idea about the... Oh, both of you have this interesting idea that, yeah, sure, you give some stuff away for free, but that does mean that you get something back further down the track.
And well, that's proven.
Yeah.
It's been proven over and over again in every, like, independent study when it comes to this. The studies that doesn't show it are the ones that are sponsored by the record or movie industry. And everyone else shows that the artists are making more and more money the more people download and use, you know, get information about them from them.
Yeah. And how you run your business is also is up to you. And then you've got no one to blame but yourself. But if you... if you're expecting to cram an old system into a new system and you're used to going on tours that act as promotional devices for records and then you go out on tour at a loss and complain that all these people are downloading your record and you're not making any money, then you're just making the wrong decisions. You're not touring smart. You know, you're bringing giant stage sets and pyrotechnics that aren't important to people. I mean, I think that's the thing, is that touring has to be cheaper. You know, unless you've got a way to pay for it, you need to be able to go out as a, you know, as someone growing your career, you need to be able to go out and simply play to people and say something simple without a huge stage set.
Well, you get paid back, for example, for your Bandcamp purchases, which are cheap or, you know, sort of pay what you feel kind of things. Mm-hmm. But you get paid back not necessarily in money, but in favors, like people bringing you food or accommodation, sure, and things like that. That's got to be part of it, right? Not necessarily the money payback.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that everybody misses that does seem obvious to me, they might be missing because they don't experience it, but when you trust your audience and you actually let them take care of you, and you're visibly doing that the way I am, like I... very visibly, because I'm constantly talking to my fans about it, we'll get into anyone's car and get a ride. And we'll let anybody feed me, and we'll crash on anybody's bed. And that shows like a huge amount of trust on my part, but it breeds an incredible amount of support on their part, because it you can't put a price tag or a value on someone trusting you. And when someone trusts you, and you're holding that in your hands, You I feel like as a human being, you instinctively want to reward that person for them putting their trust in you. And that's the thing that companies, labels, whatever, don't think about, because that's not money. That's like this huge, weird, emotional thing that you can't really... I mean, maybe you can measure it, and probably you can. But what I've found is that you have to take this leap of faith, which is, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to give you all this stuff, and then when I ask you to help me out, you will.
And I think it's not even... you probably sell much more records because you are, you know, you get hardcore fans. You have more than one,
sure,
hardcore fan. I think you build that fan base quite a lot by doing that, by being with them, and like
absolutely
being on the same level.
Yeah.
If you see like Metallica, they're like, the first thing they say when they go on stage is like, all of you, you have to turn off your cell phones, you cannot film us. Like, they're not friends with their fans.
Yeah.
So it's like... being the asshole to the people that love you, that's not really a good thing.
And that's also a very 80s mentality,
yeah,
is that you're this icon on stage and you're this like untouchable rock star and you have this mystique you're wrapped up in. And not touching the money and not addressing the exchange is a big part of that mystique. When we were just talking, I was just talking with my tour manager about how artists who got really big in the 90s who are still current, kind of have this pass, this get-out-of-jail-free card, that they don't have to be down in it with their fans because they kind of got built in that era of untouchableness. You know, you're just on a label, you never actually see this person, you never actually communicate with them, you don't really know what they're like, and that's okay because they belong to the 90s. and people are still willing to give them that pass. But try to do that as a current artist and keep everyone away from you and keep, you know, and keep all your secrets in a locked box. But that's because the whole playing field is different.
You've both got like these incredibly massive fan bases, like that you're saying, the people showing up in front of government with banners and stuff for you. For something that you guys seem to, I don't want to say you take it lightly, but you've got it like a really kind of lighthearted take. You're not terrified by the threats of takedown notices and stuff. You seem to have a lot of fun with all of this. Does it scare you sometimes when you think about the sheer number of people who are using your site and supporting you?
Well, I don't really realize it most of the time. Like, you don't see it all the time. It's probably, for Amanda, it's very different. She looks like someone else. She looks very different from most people. I look very calm. So people don't recognize me that much. So it's good. But places like this, sometimes it goes a bit crazy, but then it's like a theater thing. It's like, you know, they have their view of who I am. They don't know me, so I can play with it.
Yeah.
I don't know how it is for you, because you're more genuine, I think.
Well, I also, like, I've put myself in this role as, like, you know, the approachable rock star. But I really like it. I'm really social, and I love talking to people. So, you know, I've almost never in my life have I gotten upset with someone approaching me and being, you know, with people, and you just organize it. And
I was kind of meaning like the scale. Like, you look at this and you go, I've got, sorry, I don't actually know how many followers you have on Twitter, but, you know,
almost half a million.
Almost half a million followers on Twitter, and you've got like millions of people using your site. That kind of, oh my God, like the numbers of these people is mind blowing.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, first of all, those numbers are fake. Because I may have half a million followers on Twitter, but actually only a few thousand of them are actively paying attention at any given time, and I can tell from, you know, the number of people who actually click on my links and click on my pictures. A lot of that number got inflated when I got on the Twitter's recommended list, and I went from 30,000 followers to like 200,000 almost overnight, and all of those people were just random-ass people joining Twitter who just clicked every box. So I feel like it's really important to constantly remind people of that, because that number gets thrown around, but it's a really fake number. But, you know, those people and the people that read my blog and stuff, I actually feel like I'm in a really lucky sweet spot, because my fans pretty much across the board, and I meet them all the time. I play shows, and the shows aren't huge. I play to 500, 2,000 people. And I sign every single night, so I actually meet all of these people, and that's important to me. They're all generally really cool people. They're smart, you know, they're usually artistic, they're interesting, sometimes they're a little weird, sometimes they're a little too weird, but they're never boring people. They're never, like, standard embarrassing people, where I'm like, oh my God, like, how did you get in here? They're always kind of interesting. And I feel lucky that that's the spot that I'm sitting in, because I feel like if it were much bigger than that and I were faced with people that I felt like I had nothing in common with, you know, like the grand populace coming to my shows, I think I'd be really screwed, and I don't think I'd like it. And I like the fact that I you know, I can occasionally get recognized where I go, but the people who recognize me are usually worth talking to, and I never feel like I can't do anything or go into a restaurant or go shopping or go in, you know, because I would never in a million years get mobbed by the public. Yeah. And I feel for the people who actually can't live normally and walk around, because that it must just be terrible to all of a sudden have that freedom just squashed and taken away, freedom to just, you know, wander around. Even here, you know, everyone knows me now. Mm-hmm. They all saw me talk yesterday. I don't feel strange walking around. You know, the strangest thing that'll happen is someone will go, oh my God, you're going to bother. But it's all very negotiable. And, you know, that's that thing where, like, if something crazy happens, like I'm at the, you know, I'm at a Dresden Dolls show with thousands of people and I get swarmed in a lobby, it's like, occasionally that happens and it's exciting. It's like, oh, famous, all these people. But it's not, since it's not a problem, it's great. And I hope, actually, that I never exceed myself that way. I've talked to artists who are above my level, who've achieved mainstream success because they got, you know, their song used in Grey's Anatomy, or they, you know, they got on mainstream radio, and all of a sudden, instead of playing to 1,000, they're playing to 5,000 people. And often they find they don't like their fans anymore. And that's a huge loss, because being able to like your fans means that you can love everything you do, you can love your work, you can talk to everyone all the time. And I'd feel terrified and alienated if I couldn't.
Hayden Green talking to Amanda Palmer and Peter Sunder there at Webstock. After the break, Ivy Lies have their first album and Anna Covington has her second.